Good evening, Central Baptist Church, friends and family. We want to welcome you to this Wednesday evening, May the 6th, Bible study. Tonight, we're actually going to be looking at Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. So if you've got your Bible, you can go ahead and turn there with us. If you don't, you may have a minute or two, run, grab one, or hit pause and go get one so that you can join us along the way in the scriptures. Again, we thank you for joining us this evening. Tonight, we're going to look at a passage that deals with a rebellious son. Some of you may have experienced that personally, maybe with your own children, or maybe you have been in that particular point where you were that rebellious son at one point along the way, or maybe even right at this moment. The Lord gives us a parable in Luke's Gospel in chapter 15 that tells us a story. It kind of helps us to understand along the way. Jesus was really good at telling those parables that put a sense of being able to understand what it was that he was trying to say and the points that he was trying to make. So look with me, if you would, at Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and we're going to begin reading at verse 11. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning with verse 11. It says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living." Verse 14, "But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?' Verse 18, 'I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Verse 25, "Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandments at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you kill the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" Let's pray together. Father, we want to come to you now, and we ask that you would just help us, Father, to open our hearts and to be sensitive to the movement of the Holy Spirit as we gather around your word this evening. Father, help us to look and see what part we may play in this particular passage. For Lord, we know that any time your word is disseminated, it does not return void. Help us, Father, to take a good look at the Spirit's movement in our life, that if there are changes and adjustments that need to be made, they can be made going forth from this very moment. Lord, I pray that you would truly bless this time that we will spend together. Bless each and every person that is tuning in to this broadcast. Bless their family. Watch over them, Lord, and just only as you can, bless them in a very special way. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I started off when we were talking about this and asking you about that time of maybe when there was a rebellion, or maybe you were a little rebellious, or you had maybe some children that were somewhat rebellious along the way. And I know that most of us can relate to what that rebellion is like. Now, here in the Word of God in Luke chapter 15, we see this family. We don't see anything about a mother being there. All we know is that there was at least the father and the two sons that are mentioned in this particular passage. And I can just imagine what it must have been like that as they were going about their business in a normal day. And what we read about in verse 12, it says, and the younger, this was the younger of the man's son, came to his father, and he said, "Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me." So he divided them his livelihood. As we read that, that doesn't sound like it's got a real powerful kick to it. But if you look at what was taking place in regard to the history of that particular day, for this son to go ask his father to go ahead and give him his inheritance was essentially like him saying to his father, "I wish that you were dead." He lost all legal rights, particularly from that moment on when the father would do that. There were zero legal rights that this son had to be called a son or to have any sort of heirship or anything to the father at that particular point. So I can imagine how hurt this father must have been. Could you imagine what that must have been like? You know, and some of you may have even dealt with this in your home. You know how it is when the kids are young, they know everything. When they get a little older, they find out that they weren't as smart as they thought they were, and that mom and dad knew a little bit more than they actually thought. So here's this son who has asked for his inheritance. Now, the father didn't yell at him. It doesn't say that they had this great discussion, but what the word simply tells us is this in the latter part of verse 12. It says, so he divided to them his livelihood. Now, you got to remember, too, that this was the younger son. The older son would have gotten a greater portion of the inheritance, but the younger son now has what's his. I have a feeling that this father was hurt tremendously. I have a feeling that deep within his heart and within his soul, he knew that his younger son was about to go make some foolish errors along the way, that he was going to take what his inheritance was that his father had worked hard for. It would probably go out there and just completely blow it. Evidently, as we read on, the younger son wasn't that great at managing what he had. So then it gets even worse, because after the father does these things, after the hurt that he probably felt in his heart, verse 13 tells us, it says, and not many days after, the young son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country. He didn't just make a trip down the road. It says that he went far away. He decided he was going to spread his wings and he was going to fly. It says in verse 13, from the middle of that verse, it says, and there, it talks about what he did. It says, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. He went there and just blew all of his money. Now, later on, there towards the end of the passage that we read this evening, one of the things that we find out is that his older brother actually kind of alludes to the fact that that his younger brother had blown his money on harlots. So he was out there, you know, with this riotous living. He was prodigal. He remembered the way things were at home, and evidently he wasn't happy with them. That's the reason why he wanted to try to leave. You know, when we think about this story, the father in this story is very representative of our Savior. The younger son is very representative of us who have enjoyed all of the splendor of home. We have enjoyed sitting around the master's table. We have enjoyed the food on the table, the clothes on our back. We have enjoyed all the prosperity that he has given us and that he has allowed us. But then all of a sudden we think that the grass is greener on the other side and that's where we need to go. It's someplace we need to get away from. The younger son set out to do exactly that. And then he starts running into problems like we always do. I think every one of us can say that at some point in our life, we've been in the position of this prodigal son. It says that he wasted everything. Now, verse 14 kind of gives what his position was. It says, but when he had spent all, there arose a famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Now all of a sudden he doesn't have any money. Now all of a sudden he doesn't have any friends. Now all of a sudden he doesn't have any place to stay. Now all of a sudden all the people that were around him that were acting so friendly toward him don't have anything to do with him. And he finds himself alone in a country that is having a problem. Famine has come about. He doesn't even have enough money to buy food for the day. Verse 15 says, here was the action that he took. It says that he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him in the field to feed the swine. Now, I can only imagine how humiliating that must have been. He needed a way to make some sort of a money, a way to make a living so that he could be able to survive and buy food. So he finally hires out let's just say he's a farm hand to a fella, and his job is to feed the hogs. Now, I've done that a few times in my life, and I can promise you that is not the most glamorous position that there is. The times that I had done that and seen it, most often what would take place was anything that was left over that was going to be thrown in the trash would be raked off into a bucket, go out there and slop the hogs, as we called it. Doesn't sound like a real glamorous position, and from experience, it's not. But this young son hired himself out to a man. This is his job. He's to go out and he's to feed the swine, and he was in such bad shape. He was so hungry in the midst of that famine that verse 16 tells us, it says, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. This guy was so hungry that he was almost desiring what he was feeding the hogs, the leftovers, the junk. And notice what it said there. It said, and no one gave him anything. Where were all the friends that he made while he had his money? Where were the people that were probably trying to get something from him when he had something there? When he turned to those supposed friends in that time, nobody was there. And it says that nobody in that far country gave him anything. He is down at the bottom at this particular point. But verse 17 becomes the turning point. Verse 17 was the turning point for this young son. And I pray that if you're in the midst of a situation like this prodigal son today, that tonight would be a turning point for you as well. Verse 17 says this. It says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? His mind began to go back to what it was like when he was home. His mind began to go back at what it was like and how the father had made provision for him. How he always had a meat and a vegetable on the table. How he had clothes to wear. How he had, you know, money to do the things that he wanted to do. All because the father was taking care of him. And he began to remember what it was like being home. He began to remember what it was like when he was a son. And he said, and yet look at me. Where am I today? I'm sitting in a hog pen desiring to have the same meal that I'm feeding with these hogs. Boy, it was so much better when I was back home. But then he makes a decision. I like verse 17 said, it says, and when he came to himself, that meant that there was that moment when he began to understand the mistakes that he made and knew what he needed to do. But here he shows great courage in verse 18 because he says that I'm going to have an action plan. I'm going to do something with what I've just learned. So verse 18 goes on. It says this. It says, here was his plan. He said, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. See, he realized the gravity of his mistake. He realized all the things that he had done. Maybe at that point he realized how he had hurt his father by doing what he had done in claiming his inheritance early. And he wasn't looking to go back and be restored to what he was. What he was had made up in his mind was that I just need to go ask Dad for a job. Surely Dad would give me a job. I'm not worthy to be called his son anymore because of all the things that I've done. But even I know that the servants of my father's house have it better off than where I have it here in this far country, having wasted everything. So I'm just going to go home and I'm just going to ask Dad for a job. Now, it says, verse 20, that he took that action. It says, and he arose, came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Well, what a joyous sight that must have been. The father who had stood there and watched the horizon for his son to come back for so long. And then that day when he finally sees him, and not knowing what condition the son is in, not knowing where his heart or his head was. But it says this, it says that the father ran out to meet the son. It says he fell on his neck and he kissed him. Now this man, this father was a very noble man. For him to even run was completely out of character for a noble man to do that. But it showed the depth of his love and his compassion for his son, that he ran to him, and it says that he threw his arms around him. And he said to him, verse 21 says this, and he said, son, the son said to him, he began to tell the story that he had rehearsed, the story that he told himself when he came to himself in the hog pen. And verse 21 says, and the son said to him, father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight am no longer worthy to be called your son. Now, before he even got finished saying, all I want is a job, dad, the father answered him in verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. See, the son never actually got through asking his dad for a job. You know, the father, when he put his arms around him, didn't say, son, boy, you need a shower. You've been hanging out in the hog pen. He didn't begin to sit back and say, I told you so. Why did you do this? He didn't give him a speech or a lecture at that point. He wrapped his arms around him with compassion. I can imagine the surprise on the son's face when he was hearing that, when his dad just fell on him and he kissed him and he hugged him and he said, go get him a robe, go get a ring for his finger, let's kill the fatted calf. And he said this, he said, for my son, did you get that part? My son, verse 24, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. He didn't say my servant, he said my son. It says, and they began to be merry. Man, what a tremendous reunion that was. And I'm sure that the younger son was shocked and surprised. But folks, I want you to know today that if you're in the position of that younger son, I pray that tonight is the night when you come to yourself. I pray that tonight is the night that you look and you see all the provision that God has made for you in your life and all the good things, and that you will remember those and that you will return to him from your backslidden condition. Let me make you this promise. If you do, I promise you that God will see you coming over the horizon and he will run out. He will meet you. He will wrap his loving arms around you. Just like this prodigal son, he will accept you. Not that you were ever not part of the family. He always called him son. But come on home. Would you return like the prodigal? Now you see, there was also another son that he had. And as we get close to the end of the passages that we were reading today, it says that the older brother was out in the field. It says that he was working and he began to hear that there was a party going on at the house. And so he asked one of the other servants, what is taking place? What's going on? And one of the other servants told him, he said, well, you know, your brother that was gone has returned. So there's a party that's taking place. And the reaction that we get from the older brother is in verse 28. It says, but he was angry and would not go in. You know, when he found out what was going on, when he found out that the father had received the younger son back and had placed the ring on his finger, had killed the fatted calf, put a robe on him, he was mad. Why do you think that was? You see, this older brother here is like many Christians as well. They're not showing forth grace as they ought to, particularly when those that are wayward return to the father. So when he wouldn't go in to the feast for his younger brother, the father came out. Verse 28 says, he was angry and he would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, this is what the older brother said to the father. Lo, these many years I have been serving you. Verse 29, I never transgressed your commandments at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. He's having a pity party. Yeah, he said he is actually angry at his father, and he is angry at his younger brother because the father has received the son back without the I told you so's, without the lectures, without all these things. He has been received back home with grace in the same way that the father will receive any backslidden Christian back into the fold with grace. It's not that you ever lost your salvation. You see, this younger brother never was a time in the scripture that he was not called his son. Legally, he could have been, but the father always called him and referred to him as his son in the same way the heavenly father does for you. Will you return to him today? The older brother is having a pity party. He said, you never did these things for me. Verse 29. Yeah, I never transgressed against you, but you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But then he goes on and he points the finger at his younger brother in verse 30. He says, but as soon as this son of yours, he didn't even call him his brother. He said, as soon as this son of yours came, who devoured your livelihood with harlots, there's that reference we were talking about earlier, you killed the fatted calf for him. He's angry. And he said to him, he said, son, this is the father's answer, verse 31. Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. Now, here is the explanation, verse 32. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. He said, you know, that's the right thing to do. It is the right thing for Christians to celebrate when the prodigals come home. It is the right thing for us to do. It's not like they got away with anything. God, that they've still answered. You never know all the things that this prodigal son went through. And you know what? There will be people that don't know the things you've gone through. There are things that people have gone through that you don't know and that you don't understand. But the one thing I can promise you this is that God always told us that we're to handle every situation with love and with grace in the same manner in which Jesus, our Savior, would do. And what a tremendous example that we see here in Luke's gospel in chapter 15. So I'm asking you today, do you find yourself in the position of the prodigal that you need to come to yourself and you need to come home? Let me promise you, the Father is waiting for you to return to him with open arms. Maybe you find yourself in the position of the older brother and you haven't shown forth the grace that God would have us show to our brothers and sisters. Maybe there's some adjustment that needs to happen in our lives over that circumstance or situation. Maybe we need to have some more compassion in our lives, that we would be more like Christ in our lives in every circumstance and in every situation. So which brother do you find yourself like today? I pray that that first of all, you find yourself as the one who has stayed at the house, but with the right attitude. But if you find yourself wayward, would you return to Christ today? You can simply bow your head and say, Lord, I know I've come to myself. I understand what it is that you want. I'm coming home today. Lord, forgive me. Restore me. Help me, Lord, to be a child that represents you well. And he'll do that. He'll bring out the ring. He'll bring out the robe. He'll bring out the fatted calf. Because you that were lost are now found. You that were wayward has come home. And may we not be like the older brother. And when that takes place, when those return, may we truly accept them and wrap our loving arms around them and show them the grace, the love, and the mercy of our Heavenly Father. Next week, we're actually going to be looking at passages that will come out of Luke's Gospel chapter 17 through Luke's Gospel chapter 21. That's Luke 17 through Luke 21. And specifically at our Bible study next Wednesday, we're going to be dealing with the passages of the persistent widow that come out of Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. I will post your study notes and study material again on our site for that. I want to thank you for joining us. Continue to pray for us as we begin to make plans and preparation for reentry. I know that sounds like a really strange term, but when we come back and we're able to gather together again as a church, A lot of things are going to change. They have to, just by the virtue of what we've all been through. So pray for our leadership team as we begin to make plans for reentry. I want to invite you to join one of our Sunday school classes. We have five of those that are taking place. We've got our middle school class, our youth class. We have our senior adult class. We have a, I'll call it a middle adult class. So if you want to join one of those classes, I'll tell you who the teachers are. College and Career, Tony Price is teaching our College and Career. Please join. Listen, if you're College and Career, how many times can you sit back in the comfort of your own home or car or outside with your cell phone and join by way of a Zoom or WebEx meeting? If you want to be a part of these classes, please just call us at the church. We will get your name, your email address. We will have the teacher send you the link by email. So all you'll have to do is click and you can join that. Tony's teaching College and Career. Kelly Joyce is teaching his class. Mike Nelson is teaching his class. Lori Cole is teaching the middle schoolers. And John Folsom is teaching the high schoolers. Most of those classes, Kelly's is at 9:45, but the rest of those classes are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. They've been having a phenomenal attendance, and we want to invite you to join them. And even if you say, well, that's not really my group, come join us. You'll just enjoy the Bible study. It'll be a blessing to have an opportunity to see folks. It's been a blessing for me just to be able to see folks, even if it's been by way of virtual meetings. It's been really good to have an opportunity to kind of see folks and have a chance to interact. So please join us for that. We're going to try to let you know as soon as we know, depending on how the phases go for us reentering from COVID-19. We're working on making plans. Like I said, please keep us in your prayers as far as that goes. Don't forget, if you're going to be bringing your tithes and offerings by the church, please do that by noon on Wednesday. You have risen to the challenge and blessed the church so well by maintaining your tithes and offerings, and I know God's going to bless you as well in that regard. If you want to give electronically, you could go over to our website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org. Look for the giving tab and you can give electronically there. We continue to pray for each and every one of you, and we look forward to the day when we will have the opportunity to once again meet face to face. Let me close us in a word of prayer. We'll look forward to seeing you Sunday as we will bring forth the word of God. And don't forget, Sunday is Mother's Day. Be sure you remember Mama. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. We thank you for the fact that even when we stray and even when we get wayward, you are there waiting for us to return. Lord, I pray that if there are those who are listening to this message today that find themselves in the hog pen, that they will come to themselves and they will return to you. Lord, I pray that if there are those today who find themselves in the position of the older brother and they haven't shown the grace that they ought to, that Lord, you would deal with their life, that they would surrender that area over and that they would become more like you, that they would show your compassion and show your love, that we all might truly be like the Father. Lord, we're trying so much and trying so hard to be like you and to emulate you. Help us in our endeavors there. Lord, I pray that you will keep us all healthy and safe. Thank you for what you have done so far. And we do so look forward to the day when we will have an opportunity to gather again as your body. And in the meantime, help us to continue to look for ways that we can honor you, praise you, serve others, and be the church in the community. Because church is not just about coming to a meeting a couple of times a week. It's about how we act and what we do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Bless us, encourage us, strengthen us. And Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you Sunday.